Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to My Good Nanny Radio,
MGN Radio,
the best show on Blog Talk Radio for family information and entertainment. Thanks for tuning in.
Hello and welcome to MGN Radio, our podcast on Blog Talk Radio. Today is October 25th. It's Tuesday and it's 1 p.m. Eastern. My name is Tossie and I'm your host. Thank you so much for joining us. For those of you who will listen to the podcast later, we say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So we've had an amazing year. I can't believe in a couple of days. I want to encourage everyone to get out there and vote. Again, the election is November 8th, and hasn't it been such an interesting election? Okay, so 2017, Dare to Aspire. A lot of people have been asking, when is our Dare to Aspire? We had such a great sixth conference this year with, you know, the keynote speaker Lisa Price. And for those of you who joined us, you know, it was really an amazing event. Well, after multiple requests about when our 2017 conference is going to be, we finally, the team got together, and it's April 28th and 29th of 2017. So you're going to be seeing probably later this week, our promo is going to start. We know a lot of people want to get their vendor booths. We know a lot of people want to get their tickets. We have an amazing lineup of speakers that we're going to be introducing bit by bit. And then, of course, we always select an amazing keynote speaker. So, again, join us at d2aspire.com. And that's www.d2aspire.com. Okay, so today, my guest, I'm so excited because I'm a naturalista and I love the clip-in extensions. And I'm so glad Lena Boone, who's the CEO of Curly Clips, is going to be on our show today. And, of course, we're going to give her her fabulous MGN introduction. And let me tell you why I love this brand and what she's doing. She's a young lady. Again, she's the owner of Curly Clips. You got to check them out. It's with a K, though, K-U-R-L-Y, Clips, K-L-I-P-S. And if you go to our Instagram pages, Twitter, you will see our feeds have been blowing up with Curly Clips, so you can follow her and her brand. It's the world's first natural hair clip-in extension brand. That's a mouthful. In less than 3 years, she has generated more than $1 million in sales. Yay! And she shipped to over more than 50 countries. She's collected more than 1,100 on-site reviews and over 100,000 social media followers. Curly Clips has been featured in Essence Magazine, The Huffington Post, Black Hair UK, and of course, today, drum roll, MGN Radio Podcast. So we're really excited to chat with her all about her journey in this, you know, ever-changing, tough world of business. And, you know, you can check out her picture. She's so delightful. We'll be back after we pay some bills with the CEO, the founder of Curly Clips. And we're really, really excited. So we'll be back in just less than 1 minute.
Zulon Press presents The Need Word, a compelling Christian novel by Ron Short, a powerful drama detailing the changes that God works in a person's life once they surrender control into His mighty hands. A story of troubles, trials, and triumphant transformations. The Need Word, available in all formats on Amazon.com and from Zulon Press. Ask your bookstore today about The Need Word. Check out ronshort.net for details. The Need Word. Get your copy today.
Imagine being able to charge your phone anywhere. The Arc Sling Motion Converter turns movement into electricity, and it doesn't rely on the weather like solar or wind power. The motion of rocking or even walking harnesses kinetic energy, generating clean electricity to charge your cell phone, tablet, or other devices. Arc Sling is running a Kickstarter campaign to bring this technology to market. Visit ArcSling.com and rock out with the new energy generation. That's ArcSling.com.
Hair Yum is the fastest growing vegan hair care product on the market,
Hair Yum can transform your hair with one wash. Cleanse with no harsh chemicals, sulfates, or detergents. The Hair Yum collection is available now at hairyum.com. Take the challenge. Go vegan. Get Hair Yum at hairyum.com. That's HAIRYUM.com. Your hair will thank you for it.
All right. Thank you for joining us today. I'm actually connecting Lena right now. She's our guest, the CEO of Curly Clips, on our podcast. So, Lena, say hello if you can hear me.
Hi, it's Lana. How are you?
Hi, Lana. She's like, I love the way you did that so subtly. Lana, I love it. Welcome to the show. Welcome.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here, honestly.
Excellent. So let's get started. I always tell our guests the 30 minutes flies by. So why don't we get started with your background? How did you get started? And share your background and educational experience that you have.
Absolutely. Well, my education is actually in broadcast journalism and international public policy. And I worked for a network news station before I started Curly Clips. And, you know, what I found was that when I went to be the, I went up for a job to be the foreign affairs correspondence researcher. And I had been working at this network news program for maybe about 9 months at that time. And when I went up for this promotion, they told me that I was too international to be the foreign affairs correspondence researcher. And I kept hearing that excuse from this employer for almost every job I went after, and it's not like they didn't trust me because I was doing other things like White House producing on the weekend. I was a desk editor during the last election season. I mean, both jobs which require a lot of trust, a lot of organizational skills, you know, very demanding jobs. But, you know, when it came to moving on, I kept being told that I was too international. And so my contract with them was over after 18 months. And I was unemployed. You know, I was unemployed. I was collecting my unemployment benefits. And I knew that they were going to end. And I didn't know what to do. You know, I had worked so hard to progress in my journalism career. I had studied it since high school. I had gotten my master's degree in it. You know, my backup plan was international public policy. And nothing really seemed to be working out for me. Nothing. You know, I applied to everything. And it was just a hard time. This was about maybe a little over 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. And, coming out of the recession, times were tough. And so one thing that I was doing in the meantime was growing out my natural hair, which means I was laying off the chemical relaxers to straighten my hair, and I just wanted to embrace my natural textured hair. So I was doing that by getting sew-in weaves. And I would get them once every 2 to 3 months. And, you know, I had seen great progress with that. And I got to the point where my hair, my natural hair length, had been the longest it had ever been. And that was, you know, past my shoulders, you know, making its way down to bra length. And I was so excited for that. But one day, the stylist that I went to, she was the one who was supplying me with these hair extensions. And she ran out. She basically ran out of hair, and she convinced me to stay in my sew-in weave for an additional month. So she wanted me to stay in my sew-in for 4 months because she said she would have the hair extensions then. Now, on the inside, I knew this was wrong. My intuition was yelling at me. I knew this was wrong, but I trusted her. You know, she gave me great advice before. She had given me no reason not to trust her, and she, you know, she told me, I'll be gentle when I take it out. You shouldn't see any damage. Trust me, your hair will be healthy. Yes, this isn't ideal, but, you know, I'll make sure that your hair is healthy afterwards. Just trust me. And so I did trust her, and unfortunately that, you know, what she promised wasn't the case at all. To make a long story short, between her really rough detangling process and, you know, of taking it out and re-sewing it back in, it was – it was such a mess that basically at the end of it, I had to cut hair that was finally past my shoulders, almost back up to my chin. And I was devastated.
Wow.
Because I had just spent so much time and so much money on growing out my hair, and to have it, you know, to have it all go to waste like that was just, you know, I can't describe it, but it was just so hurtful. And combine that with the fact that the job of my dreams wasn't working out. You know, I was unemployed. I was becoming chronically unemployed. And it's like, you know, not only is my professional aspirations, you know, not only have I do I feel like a failure with those, but now I'm a failure in my natural hair journey. You know, I'm starting all over again. And so, you know, after I came back from the salon that night, and I'm sure other women might have this experience of when you go to the salon and you're just not happy with what you get. But when you combine that, you combine, you know, the unemployment. I mean, I fell on the bathroom floor and I just started crying because I had, my life to me felt like it was an absolute shambles. And I had worked so hard and had done all the right things to not make that the case. And I will say, I kind of like cried out to God and I said, you know, I give up. I said, I give up, you know, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. But I give up on my dreams. You know, if you want me to, you know, be a custodian, if that's my purpose in life, I'll do that. And I'll do it with an open heart. You know, if you want me to work at an animal shelter, that's what I do. But journalism, public policy, you know, I give up those dreams. I really kind of surrender. And I really kind of surrender to you. And I tell you, within that moment, I just got this idea almost instantaneously, and the idea was clip-in extensions for natural hair. And I went to Google clip-in extensions for natural hair because I was going to buy me some, because I knew that so many, you know, white girls and Asian girls and Latinas, they all rely on clip-ins for their primary extension method. And so I figured, you know, well, I'm sure they make some in my hair texture, and at least that'll help me look good through this trying process. Because I just wasn't really comfortable with my hair in a super short length. And so, you know, I Googled clip-in extensions for natural hair because I was going to buy me some, and no results came up. Absolutely zero results. And so I said, that can't be. So I typed in clip-in extensions for Afro-textured hair. And then clip-in extensions for kinky hair. And no matter what I typed into Google, I couldn't find anything. And I knew in that moment that a miracle truly was born. And 3 years later, we're a multi-million dollar company now. And it's been an incredible blessing. And I think I owe a lot of it to being stripped of my ego and surrendering. So that I could be more open to all the possibilities that life had to offer.
Wow. Wow. You said a lot. And I know everybody can relate to the story, especially about the stylist and trying to extend the weave cycle or the extension cycle. And wow, that is, and I love the part where you said you surrendered everything to God, and then boom, this came up. But let's break it down a little bit, because I know some mom or woman is like, I want to do that too. And we always try and get into the details, right? So now we know you Googled, you know, and you couldn't find, which as we know, extensions have been, like you said, for the Asian girls rock them, Hispanic, the white girls rock them, you know. What made you even come up with the name, like Curly Clips? How did you come up with the name Curly Clips?
You know, it was in the same night. I'm telling you, you know, everything fell into place so miraculously. It was weird. It really was. I was, you know, when I couldn't find anything, I knew in that instance that I had a potential business. And so then I started thinking, well, what would I call it? And I'm like, well, clip-in extensions. And I was like, that too came to me. I was like, well, I need clip-in extensions for curly hair. And then I was like, curly clips. And the only reason why I spelled it with K's instead of C's was because at the time, a curly clip spelled with C's was a paperclip company. So I said, you know, I really like this name. I want to stick with it. And so, you know, I like the alliteration. And so I decided to stick with curly clips. And I did throw around the name Kinky Clips for a while, but I didn't want to get confused with, like, an adult website provider. So I decided that curly clips might be the better alternative.
Yes, curly. I think you were right with that. Wow. Now, a lot of people, I'm going to jump around, okay, because I know I just saw something in the chat room, and they're like, how much? And I know, you know, we usually wait to the end to talk about price, but a lot of people probably have gone on your website. How much do your clips, what's the range of the price? If somebody said, you know what, I love the way she looks on the picture, I like the stuff, what's the price point of your products?
Yeah, the price points are between $159 and $199. And generally, it's that's for one set of clip-in extensions. And some women only need one set, so maybe they're just looking for a bit more volume or just a bit more length to their own natural hair. And so they're cool. They're totally good with one set. But if you are looking to cover, you know, an entire head with extensions and you don't want hardly any of your own natural hair left out because, let's say, you're doing a protective style, well, then in that case, you might need two. Though some women who have smaller than average heads still can get away with one set. So, you know, it honestly depends, but for the most part, they range from $159 to $199.
Okay, great. That's affordable. So, okay, excellent. Now, in terms of your initial investment, when you came up with the idea and Googled it and da-da-da, we all know in business it takes money. How did you come up with the initial investment to start your business? Did you take a loan? And give us a ballpark of what was the cost of starting this business?
Yeah, you know, again, this was a little over 3 years ago, so times might have changed in terms of how much it takes to start a business today. But then, basically, I had my money that I saved from working in Network News. And, you know, at the time, because I was unemployed, you know, I was very fortunate that my father let me come back and live in his house. And so that's what I did. You know, I was able to take the money that I had earned and saved at Network News and use that towards my business. And I was very practical with it. So I said, okay, how much money, you know, can I afford to lose if this doesn't work out? And so that's what really kept me on a bootstring budget because, you know, I don't think it's the best idea just to throw, you know, all kinds of cash and an idea. You really, really want to stay within a budgetary frame and try to make it work within that frame, because I'm not necessarily a huge believer in taking investment when it comes to small business or taking loans. If, you know, you have an opportunity to work and save money towards a future business and to invest in it yourself, you know, I think that's probably the best way to go. And within a ballpark, I spent between $7,000 to $10,000 getting curly clips off the ground. And so, and a lot of that money went to inventory because the hair that I source is not cheap. It's actually very expensive. And that's why I have to price it at the way I price it, because, you know, then there's also overhead on top of that. There's taxes. There's a lot to running a business. And so, you know, the hair itself is actually really expensive, and that's what ate up most of my initial investment. It was inventory, and I had a pretty small inventory too, but that was all defined. I really looked at my budget and said, okay, you know, how many pieces of hair can I buy within this budget? And also, you know, how much is it going to take to get a website up and running? And how much is it going to take to do packaging? And how much is it going to take to do that? And then after figuring out all of that, that's when I could really decide, okay, what can I afford to do within this budget?
Wow, excellent, excellent, Lana. Now, do you get your hair from China or Korea, or, you know, domestically, internationally? Where do you source your hair from? And how was that process of finding the right supplier for your products?
Yeah, I mean, what I'll say is the hair is sourced internationally. And what I will say is that it's definitely a research endeavor. You know, you have to find a company that sources the hair ethically, and also is ethical to you in business, because a lot of times, you know, when you try to source hair yourself online, what you'll find is basically a lot of scammers. You know, what's really huge in the hair industry now, especially when you have perhaps large hair factories trying to source directly to the American consumer or the European consumer, basically what they're doing is, you know, giving that individual consumer, you know, bad bundles of hair, because they're saving their better bundles for people who can buy in large quantities at one time. But it's not only that, even if you do want to buy in large quantities at one time, you know, when you're sourcing internationally, you know, international law and things like that apply differently. There's a lot of impunity for companies overseas, and they know that. So, you know, they might mix human hair with horse hair, and that's how you get these really, really bad quality hair extensions. Or they may mix synthetic hair with human hair, and again, that's why they don't act right. And it's a shame, because, you know, they might do a really great job your first few runs, and then all of a sudden they turn on you when, you know, you think that you're not looking. And, you know, all of a sudden they start sending you bad quality stuff. And so, you know, you're really trying to look for an ethical supplier, someone who does good business and who will do good business with you. And so that's one thing that I always kind of look for when it comes to sourcing hair extensions.
Now, did you get it right your first time, or did it take maybe you trying several companies before you said, yes, this is the one that's going to give me good quality hair?
Yeah, you know, it was trial and error. It did take several companies to try to figure out what their business style was. And a lot of it was intuitive, and I paid a lot of attention to communication, how they communicated with me. But again, I'll be really honest, the start of Curly Clips in that regard, again, was kind of miraculous, because I found a great supplier very fast. And what I will say is I haven't been able to find another supplier that matches in quality the supplier that I have now. And I've been looking for one for 3 years.
Wow. Wow. Well, that says a lot. Yeah, because I know a lot of people, when they hear, and this is so impressive, you know, and that's why I'm like, I can't wait to Dare to Aspire 2017, because, you know, our theme is the beauty of business. And when people hear, oh, you know, you're a multi-million dollar business, like I always tell people, we don't talk to the fakes, you know, the people who say they have millions and don't. You have a real business that really is a multi-million dollar business. And so that's why I'm taking the time to kind of talk to you and ask you these questions. And I hope our listeners are really, you know, grab your pen and paper, because this is real business advice. And so we really, really thank you. Now, in terms of marketing your brand, again, you started 3 years ago. Oh, first, when did you reach the $1 million mark, and how was that? I know our listeners will probably like that story. When did you reach the $1 million? Like, how was that?
You know what? I can't even give you an exact date, because this is a critical piece of the advice that I've learned along the way. You know, I got it from a mentor. But what I will say is that in the beginning, of course, you know, you have to manage your cash flow. You have to manage the money, but, and of course you want to have a profitable business, and you want to keep the roof over your head. You want to keep the machine running. But honestly, it wasn't about the money. So I can't even really tell you when that first million mark was made because I really wasn't paying attention to that gross figure. What I was paying attention to was the cash flow. So always making sure that there's enough money coming in so that I can rebrand and pay the taxes that I need to pay, because, you know, Curly Clips pays taxes on two continents. You know, I pay the Queen and I pay Uncle Sam. But, like, you know, making sure that there's enough cash flow coming in, you know, to be able to pay for those expenses. You know, I think a lot of times when people see a seven-figure business story, and even when people, you know, do get to that figure, they think they have all this money in their bank account or in their pockets. That's furthest from the truth. I mean, if you're growing a scalable business, a majority of that money is going to get reinvested, and it's going to go back to taxes, and it's going to go back to purchasing more inventory. And, you know, I can live comfortably off of Curly Clips, and that's true, but you really have to take all of those expenses into account because the money leaves just as fast as it does coming in, and you really have to pay attention to that.
I love that. That is true business advice.
It's true. I don't know exactly when that I don't know the date that number was hit, but I was focused on serving my customers. And what I was trying to do was build a better beauty brand, especially for the black hair market, because I felt for so long it was just a shady industry. And, you know, when I was trying to purchase hair extensions online, I felt like I was paying hundreds of dollars and these companies were treating me like a second-class citizen. You know, I would ask for maybe a discount after my third purchase, and they wouldn't even email me back. And so what I did was I just really sought to and put my focus on creating a business that truly appreciates the customer, and not just through words, but through action. So that's why Curly Clips has a rewards program, because when I was buying hair online, I wanted a rewards program. And that's why we put so much emphasis and money and an effort into the YouTube videos. So, you know, you're not out here basically by yourself once you get the product. You know exactly what to do with it. And that's even why we put so much money into packaging, because we know that a lot of women save hard for these, you know, for the luxury of having clip-in extensions. And so we just want to make sure that the experience is just the experience is good. We just want to make sure that the customer can feel the love from this company to them, from this black-owned company to, you know, the customer. So I think that was another reason why Curly Clips was so successful. The focus really was on, you know, delighting the customer and making them as happy as possible with their purchase.
Wow.
It wasn't
now,
speaking of,
very, very good. Now, speaking of YouTube, what's your favorite social media platform and why, especially when it's in terms of, like, you were an unknown business 3 years ago? Like, what was your social – did you use social media first, and what was your favorite and why?
Yeah, the social media landscape has changed so much. Before, YouTube was, I feel like, a very dominant leader, and it still is in some cases. But I feel like if you really didn't get into the YouTube game in like 2009, 2010, it's very difficult to establish a following. And not only that, there's so much noise on YouTube now. Facebook is playing very much like traditional media is playing. Before, it was very easy and very fun to be able to interact with your customers on Facebook. And now Facebook doesn't want businesses to do that. They basically just want businesses to pay for ads just like they would do on television. The one platform that I do see a lot of promise with still is Instagram. It's a really great way to engage with customers and to talk to them, see what they want, and to also, you know, delight them. And you know, for me and for the Curly Clips company, you know, we're really about celebrating natural hair textures and the beauty of natural hair textures, no matter how, what you want to do with them, whether you want to, you know, wear it as, you know, undefined as possible, if you want to define them into curls, or if you want to, like, if you want to heat train your hair, you know, we're just about celebrating natural hair textures in all their states. And so that's what we try to promote on Instagram. So right now I would say my favorite platform is probably Instagram. But I'm really personally not on social media. So from a business standpoint, definitely that. But from a personal standpoint, you know, I've kind of backed away from all of that.
So from a business, and I love Instagram too. I love Instagram. That's my favorite. But from a personal standpoint, you said you're not on social media?
Yeah, I'm not. I just felt like there was too much noise. And social media really, I think, really encourages maybe on a subconscious level just comparison. You know, you can't help but compare yourself to others when you're on social media, and it's where everyone puts up their highlight reels. You don't necessarily see the struggles people are facing. You only see the highlights. And so what I found was I'm really just trying to focus on my business here and, you know, the people who do work for Curly Clips, with Curly Clips, and all of the beautiful customers we serve. And so I just felt like I really couldn't do that properly with personal social media platforms.
Very interesting perspective. Now, in terms of just, you know, your Black-owned company, what challenges do you face as a minority woman in business?
You know, I will say this. I was very thoughtful about Curly Clips because I, you know, after kind of being burned by network news, you know, one thing that I realized was that I wanted to serve my own community because my own community wasn't going to reject me because of my skin color. And I just never wanted to have the face. I never wanted to deal with that again. So I was very deliberate in making sure that I served my own community because I knew that if I showed my community love, they would show me love back. And so, you know, in that regard, I don't think I might have the same challenges that would face another Black-owned business that might be serving all types of people. I have a few friends and acquaintances who are running minority-owned businesses, and, you know, they deal with a lot from, you know, do you put your own face on the brand because, you know, social bias will tell you that, you know, people who don't look like you will basically not trust you for that. You know, do you, you know, put people of color in your marketing campaigns knowing that it might turn away a huge segment of business? You know, luckily I don't really necessarily have to deal with that. But I will say, I think really the challenge of being a woman, and particularly a black woman in business, is probably just being taken seriously from others. And that could be with contractors, and that can even be, you know, with acquaintances and from, you know, other professionals in business. A lot of times they might not want to take you seriously. They might not want to treat you as an equal, or maybe they try to get too personal too fast. And that's not something that they would necessarily do with men or with women of other ethnic groups. And so, you know, that to me is really the challenge in my particular case. It's more of a social challenge of being taken seriously and not necessarily just as an object.
Well said. I wish I could clap for that. And those who are listening, let me tell you, Lana is the truth when it comes to this. Let me tell you. You are just all that, you know. I love it. Wow, time is flying. I want to get the rest of the questions in. Now, what skills, because you're very well educated, like you say, your father, shout out to your father for, and all the good dads out there, for helping their daughters, their sons with businesses, because a lot of times kids don't have that. But what do you feel are some of the skills that are very important for a successful career, whether it's in beauty or medicine or news? What are some skills that you feel are just very important to have?
Yeah, you know, I think the first skill that comes to mind is the ability to research. And I really think that's where my journalism background really comes in. You know, I'm not afraid of Google. I know how to Google. You know, I don't have a formal business education. I learned everything I do about business basically online. And I can differentiate the difference between a credible website from a non-credible website. And so those are all, you know, basic research functions that I think are incredibly important, because you can do anything if you know how to Google and you know how to sort through, you know, sort through the sources. So I would say that is incredibly important. And, you know, also just not really getting discouraged. I know one in my personal journey, you know, a lot of my the people around me at the time, you know, they were in wonderful careers, you know, careers that I wanted and that I dreamed of having myself. You know, some of them, you know, worked for, you know, incredible news networks and, you know, were doing very well in them. Whether they were in radio or television, you know, other people were working, you know, maybe at like top consultancy firms like Booz Allen or Deloitte. You know, other people were working at the White House. I had some friends working at the World Bank, the IMF. And, you know, when I decided that I was going to go into hair, a lot of people, you know, turned up their nose at me and laughed. And they said, oh, Lana couldn't make it, so she had to start selling hair online. And I think that would have discouraged a lot of other people, you know, because they have what's the best way to say this? But I think status is really important to some people. But for me, I kind of felt like life had kind of pushed me in a corner. And I kind of remember that line in the movie. I think it's like, nobody puts baby in the corner. And I just came out fighting, and I didn't care. I didn't care. I kind of was looking at it as a life or death situation, and I decided I was going to fight my way through it, and I didn't care what other people thought. And so, you know, there was a courage in doing that and to kind of going against the grain of what, you know, your community says that you should be doing. And I'm so happy I did, because I'm a lot happier now doing, you know, this completely unexpected business. You know, I get to serve lots of wonderful women. I get to make them feel good about their hair, which, you know, to a lot of women, you know, means so much. And, you know, the service is wonderful. And then I'm also learning a lot about business, and nobody can fire me besides the customer. And as long as I treat them right, you know, they're not going to do it. So it's that courage to do what you need to do is also key. Researching, and then money management, because if you can't manage money, and if you don't have an understanding that inventory is going to need to be paid, taxes are going to need to be paid, you know, business services, legal expenses, if you're not managing this cash, you know, that's, you're going to fail. And so, you know, you have to constantly stay on top of the money. And I think Oprah taught me that. She said she knows every single dollar that comes in and out of all of her businesses. And that is essential. Wow. Because if you don't do it, you know, the business fails.
Wow. Now, for your tax, I know a lot of people in our conferences, tax is such a big question. Especially small, how do you start? Da, da, da. Do you hire a professional, or when you started out, did you just do it yourself? Or from the get-go, did you hire a professional?
Well, from the get-go, I did my bookkeeping myself, and then I hired an accountant to do my taxes. You know, I used my dad's accountant, and I did my research on them, and they were voted best in the area, and they had been best in the area for quite some time. I mean, your taxes are something that you don't want to go cheap on. You know, you really want to make sure, especially when it comes to business, you really want to make sure that you spend a little money to make sure that they're done correctly. So that's one thing I started. Then I realized that bookkeeping just shouldn't necessarily be one of my main functions in my business. So I did source that out to an online company. But with that said, every single week, I still go over my balance sheet and I still look at every single expense from the week before. And I also look at all the money that came into the business. So I always know where I stand from a weekly and sometimes even a daily from a daily position.
Very good. Now, do you have a business mentor, somebody that guides you when you have business questions or advice? Do you have a business mentor?
Yeah, you know, I would say that my my business mentor for right now is still my dad. We're in completely different industries. You know, he's semi-retired. He worked in the insurance industry. And so, you know, I have an online business. It's pretty different, but there's some classical business advice that can be applied to all business. And so, you know, he weathered a lot of storms. You know, my dad, he was born in 45. He, you know, saw the civil rights, you know, era. He was the first black man to integrate the insurance industry. So, you know, there was, at least on the East Coast and like some of the big companies. So, you know, I figure if he could go through all that and do it, I mean, I can too. I think that's also what really pushes me, a sense of looking at your ancestors and seeing what they went through and then looking at yourself and being like, I have no excuse. Especially with the internet on my side.
Especially, wow.
And for
we are
people,
talking to
you
lot.
Know, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, I said, and for people who might not have personal mentors, I just want to say that, you know, podcasts such as these and, you know, such as yours, Tasi, and, you know, podcasts can be such a valuable resource of information. So can really credible blogs. So just because maybe you don't necessarily have a family member, it doesn't necessarily mean you can't get the same information. You know, you can get it through podcasts and you can get it through books and you can get it through, there's so many ways to get information. And so, yeah, I you know, my dad definitely kind of helped me from a classical business sense in terms of, you know, best business practices, but everything that I learned from online marketing and setting up an online business and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, I basically learned from books, from podcasts, and, you know, from those kind of areas.
Wow, exactly. We're going to take a quick break, 30 seconds, pay this bill, and then I'm going to come back with our final question for Lana Boone.
Zulon Press presents The Need Word, a compelling Christian novel by Ron Short, a powerful drama detailing the changes that God works in a person's life once they surrender control into His mighty hands. A story of troubles, trials, and triumphant transformations. The Need Word, available in all formats on Amazon.com and from Zulon Press. Ask your bookstore today about The Need Word. Check out ronshort.net for details. The Need Word. Get your copy today.
Excellent. We are back and we're rounding up the interview. So my final question is, what is the best advice that you have received in business?
You know, there's been a lot of great advice that, you know, I've received, but I think the best advice actually comes from my dad, and he has a saying, and it goes, ain't nothing to it but to do it. Ain't nothing to it but to do it, you know. And he's so right. He's from North Carolina. He has all these like little country sayings, and that's one of them. Ain't nothing to it but to do it. And he's so true, because you know sometimes things look so difficult, you know, and you look like there's a huge wall in front of you, and you're like, how in the world am I going to scale this wall to, you know, to get to the other side, to what I need to do? And really, it just starts with taking one step and then another step and then another step. And there's been plenty of times in business where I felt like something was too challenging. Like, you know, maybe I should hire it out because, you know, it's too much for me to learn. But what I find is always better, especially when there are critical components of your business, to just, instead of letting it overwhelm you, just start taking those baby steps into doing it, and before you know it, you're in the thick of it. And then, as time goes by, you know what you're doing. You've cleared that wall, and you can see across the other side.
Wow, excellent, excellent. Well, this has been so great. I knew time would fly. My producer's like, over, but I could talk to you all day. And I just want to thank you so much for your candor and just your realness. And, you know, best of luck with Curly Clips. I'm so excited you're going to be at Dare to Aspire 2017. I'm so excited. Please tell our listeners on the podcast one more time how they can get a hold of you and your brand and your business.
Absolutely. You can find us online at Curly Clips, curlyklips.com. That's Curly Clips. .com with K's, and all of our social media handles also follow that same name. So you can find us youtube.com/curlyclips, facebook.com/curlyclips, Instagram @curlyclips. You know, we have all those domains and names covered.
Wow.
And thank you so much too for this opportunity. I really appreciate it, and I really hope it helps another woman out there, because the more strong woman-owned businesses we have in this world, the better.
Exactly. Well said. Thank you so much for being on the show. We appreciate you and your time. We know you're a very busy lady. Thank you so much. Now, join us tomorrow. Tomorrow we have another show with author, best-selling author, Ron White. So tomorrow at 2 p.m., we're going to do another podcast. So make sure you join us, and have a blessed day, everyone. Bye.